Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. There are a number of great shows coming up at the Rosé Center. It's a beautiful place to be able to see a show. And here to talk about what's coming up is the Director of Programming and Development for the Rosé Center, Mary Jennings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How long have you been in this position?
I've been at the Rosé Center since the spring of 2014. So this will be my fourth season there.
And with the number of shows that are coming up, who gets to pick what comes?
Fortunately, I do, which is a fun job for me. You know, I can't say I do it all by myself. We shop all of the shows that we bring in around our department, so everybody kind of has their eyes on what it is we're thinking about. And last year, we actually brought in a community panel of both university and community folks to give us some feedback on some of the shows we were thinking about bringing in, which was really nice to have that input.
How far in advance do you make those decisions?
We're starting now for next year. So starting in August of, you know, the year before, it takes about 12 to 18 months to program a season.
Do you have a theme or guideline that you go along with that shows that are good for the Rosé Center? I mean, obviously you're not having big rock concerts there, except for the Rock Camp, but, you know, other shows
except for
like
this
that.
Weekend. Yeah, mm-hmm. Rock Camp will be the big rock show we have. Hopefully it's a little shorter than the 3.5 hours it normally runs, but, you know, bring your earplugs and be ready for a big show. We don't necessarily have a formula. We have an idea of what it is that our audience likes to see. We get feedback from folks every year about what it is they liked or maybe what they didn't like that we brought in. And it depends on what's available too. My example that I always give is people always want to see Cats, right? But Cats isn't always touring. And so I would love to bring in a big Broadway show, but sometimes it just doesn't work. And we've got to work with what's available and then using our own kind of aesthetic discretion to make some choices.
Well, if you ever come across Phantom of the Opera, I've got to go
here. It's on the list.
Now, you were recently given some recognition for some of the work that you've been doing. And tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So this year I was selected nationwide to be part of the Association of Performing Arts Professionals Leadership Fellows Program, which is a cohort of 25 individuals from across the country who have my job as an arts presenter and also perhaps work as on the other side of my job as an arts agent, kind of selling the shows that I look at buying for our season every year. And it's just been a great honor to work with so many really esteemed professional colleagues from very different backgrounds. You know, some folks are presenting in very rural areas, just like I am, but some folks are coming from New Orleans or LA. And so getting to hear about their seasons and the shows they're bringing in and how they're choosing to engage their audience has been eye-opening, and I feel like I'm learning a lot. So it's a real honor.
How did they find you?
It was an application process. One of my friends, who actually is an agent in the field, recommended that I apply. And so there was a kind of an extensive application process. And from a group of, I'm not sure how many, the 25 of us were selected.
The reason why I asked that is, of course, we're here in the Great White North and, you know, out of the way, for, you know, there's a one way to kind of put it, but still, the Rosé Center. How does that compare with, you know, some of these other larger venues and more populated areas as far as for its production quality and the type of shows that you get?
You know, we have a really unique situation here in the Rosé Center. We're the largest performing arts center in the entire Upper Peninsula, so we are on par with theaters of comparable calibers in larger areas. So folks who come, you know, artists who tour to the Rosé Center are usually pretty surprised at how developed and mature our facilities are and the capability of our staff. So we can go toe-to-toe with a lot of larger theaters that have comparable, you know, seating capacities and technical capabilities. But I think that we were selected, or at least my application was reviewed, because we're doing some really great things in an area where there's not a lot of industry for the performing arts. And our audience is very responsive to the things that we're doing. And that's pretty unique.
Well, why were you selected?
That's a great question. You know, I like to think that I'm somebody with lots of ideas. I'm lucky that I've got a group of really wonderful colleagues around me that help me bring some of those ideas into fruition. They also tell me when some of the ideas I have are pretty bad ideas, so I appreciate them for that. But, you know, I'm passionate about our community here. I'm passionate about audience development and how we bring new people into the theater, people who might never think that the theater is for them or that they'll like the shows. But if we can engage them the right way, talk about the shows in language that's understandable and not just kind of lofty artist language, you know, we have an opportunity to really do some amazing work. And I think that... That's where my passion is, and I hope that that showed in my application.
Most of the shows that you do, of course, they appeal to the broader community, not just to Michigan Tech students, even though you're on the campus of Michigan Tech. But how does that relationship that you have with the university, being part of the campus, enhance what you're able to be able to do?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, to be able to have the support of the university, not only in the facility support that we have, but our relationship with the faculty, with the students. So when we're hoping to engage kind of on a deeper level with some of these shows we bring in, we have this wealth of academic knowledge to pull from to talk about whether it's, you know, considering what show to bring in or figuring out how to make this interesting for folks, how to take maybe a different angle to talking about the show. We've got this large community of people who often is really ready to help us with that communication.
Are the workers, the crew of the Rosé Center, are they largely Michigan Tech students?
They are mostly Michigan Tech students, which is one of the things that is also very impressive about the Rosé Center. We've got a handful of very talented professional staff who are kind of leading the pack of our student crew, but every year we have about 40 university students who act as our student production crew, and they are not just visual and performing arts majors. We've got computer science students and mechanical engineers and everybody in between coming to work in our staff. And so they are literally pulling the shows out of the trucks and putting them onto the stage. They're mixing the sound live. They are controlling the lights. Everything that you see is often student run.
Now, if I had, you know, like Trish Helsel here or somebody, probably a better question for her about asking, you know, how many degree programs does Michigan Tech have that, you know, are directly tied in with the Rosé Center and what they're able to provide there, whether they're on stage or behind the scenes?
We have several degree programs that are directly related to the work that's being done on the stage. So again, whether you're an audio engineer and you are mixing sound effects live, you know, the sound of an explosion, the sound of a thunderstorm, they're not just going out and recording. These are sounds that are being fabricated out of nothing from these students. But then also we've got students who are working to actually physically create the set. They're working in our scene shop. They're acting, you know, very much in line with our mechanical engineers in that way. And also students sewing costumes, students who are running our sound and our light board. So we have degree programs that are really equipping our students to go out and be exemplary professionals in the field.
They do amazing work. I once saw a show a few years ago was at the McArdle Theater, of course, connected to the Rosé Center and the Walker Center, though, but they had this machine vehicle. They had a car that had to perform a little bit on stage, but it was just really a giant prop. And I asked, wow, how'd you guys be able to do that? He goes, well, we're mechanical engineers. Oh, okay, I forget about that. So, you got a great lineup, I know, coming up, as you always do every year. We're going to talk about the ticket packages that are available for people that want to get, you know, a season or other packages that you have. But what are they going to be able to see?
We've got a great lineup of performances this year. Everything from, you know, international acrobats and kung fu martial artists to jazz musicians and dancers and everything in between. So kind of starting right at the top of our professional season this year, we have our performance of China Gold. And that's going to be on Saturday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. This is our show that we do every year in collaboration with the Parade of Nations. So, you know, the Parade of Nations obviously is so well attended, and it's one of the highlights of the year for so many of us. It kicks off our academic season. And so as part of the Parade of Nations, we work with the committee to bring in kind of a headliner performance. And this year, it's this group, China Gold, who will be performing a kung fu martial arts acrobatics type of show. So high energy, high entertainment, lots of fun, big kind of spectacle on stage. And that's how we're starting 2017-18.
Definitely a good start. It's a, you know, described a little bit as an acrobatics team, but I think that, you know, as I already read, that that does not describe it in full.
Not, it doesn't encompass everything that the show is going to be. No. And so after that, you know, we've got lots of visual and performing arts events throughout the year, several music productions. And like you had mentioned, in the McArdle Theater, our theater production, our Michigan Tech Theater Company will be producing four shows, three in the McArdle and a final performance in the Rosé Center. But we've also got some really interesting collaborations going on. So in November, we're working with 41 North and the Kiwanis Symphony Orchestra to present Voices of Light, which is a contemporary composition to score the film The Passions of Joan of Arc, which is a classic film festival film. And I think this is going to be a really interesting blend of the Kiwanis Symphony Orchestra performing live as this classic film is being shown to kind of kick off the film festival this year.
Now, of course, we know the Kiwanis Symphony Orchestra. When you say 41 North, is that the 41 North Film Festival?
That's the one. That's the one. Yeah. So as part of the film festival, we'll be showing this classic film, The Passion of Joan of Arc. But the orchestra will be playing a contemporary score to the film live as you're watching the film.
Amazing.
Yeah, so a really interesting kind of multimedia blend of performances.
Okay.
Following that, in January, again in collaboration with the Center for Diversity and Inclusion, we're bringing in a company that's actually a radio company first. They do radio plays, but they're adapting one of their works to the stage in The Mountaintop, which is a story about Martin Luther King and the night before his assassination. So a very poignant play that talks a lot about, you know, kind of race relations and where we have been and where we're going. And this is in collaboration with the Center for Diversity and Inclusion's annual Martin Luther King celebration.
Okay, so that'll be performed on stage, and they're bringing in all the...
So it's two actors on stage, and instead of adapting their radio style of performance directly to a play, it will be, you'll have a set, but it's all about the dialogue with this show. So it's two actors standing at microphones going through this entire performance in that manner.
Yeah, well, those are very interesting. They had something similar like that during the 1913 celebration, the anniversary, the 100th anniversary. Looking back on the 1913, I think they performed it at the Calumet Theater, which was pretty neat. They did kind of the same thing. It was like a radio show that was performed on stage, and I heard great reviews about it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that, you know, this company is so established in their field already. And they're syndicated across the country on radio. And so to be able to bring them in to do kind of a unique performance at a very specific time of the year, I think will be very meaningful.
Okay. And what else?
So following that, the show that I think I might be most excited about next year is our performance of Ailey 2 coming in. Ailey 2 is the second company of the Alvin Ailey American Modern Dance Company, which is one of the foremost modern dance companies in the country. And Ailey 2 is kind of their up-and-coming dancers. So it's this, what they call the next generation of dance. It'll be a high-energy performance. They're highly athletic, skilled dancers. And so although we don't have ballet in our season, I think this will be what those folks who are really interested in seeing some classical dance, they'll be interested.
Yeah, good. All right.
Yeah. Our final two performances of the year, one, we're bringing in the Fred Hirsch Trio. Fred Hirsch is one of the world-acclaimed jazz musicians. He's a composer. He also is noted for his time spent in a medical coma where he recalls such a huge majority of his time in the coma. He actually has mental recollection of that time. And so he has created a musical about his experience that was also turned into a documentary recently. So we'll be showing the film, and his trio will be performing live at the Rosé Center.
Wow. Just you telling me about it, that sounds like it would be incredible.
A combination, right, that you wouldn't normally expect. But again, very poignant. And this is somebody who has so many accolades within his field that we're just so lucky to be able to bring someone like that all the way up to the Keweenaw.
Sure.
And then we're finishing our professional season next year with, a high-energy show. So we started on a high note, and we're trying to end on a high note with the performance of Scrap Arts Music, which is kind of, you know, stomp meets some industrial engineering. You know, these artists take scrap metal, PVC pipes, you know, anything that they can find, and they're creating new instruments out of this material and performing live in a high energy, very acrobatic and, again, athletic style of performance.
Well, it definitely sounds like a terrific lineup that you have again for this upcoming year, as you often do. And in addition to these main shows that you have, there's also, of course, a lot of other things that take place at the Rosé Center, from, you know, the jazz, that jazz club that they do.
Our backstage jazz shows.
I mean, just those things. I mean, they're always so neat, you know.
The backstage jazz shows are actually some of my favorite visual and performing arts events to go to. You know, we turn our stage into kind of a jazz club where we're bringing the audience right onto the stage with us. We drop our fire curtain, so it kind of creates this small club environment. We usually have, you know, a standing bar and some cocktail tables, so it's not just sit and watch a show. You can kind of mingle, and the music is always fantastic. It's student groups and community groups, and it's just a fun show.
And the Rosé Center also hosts other things other than shows too. You've got the gallery.
We do. We have our two galleries down in the basement, Gallery A, or A Space, which is our professional installation side of our gallery, which is curated by our fabulous faculty curator, Lisa Gordillo, and she's got a couple of really great artists coming in, scheduled to exhibit. And then on the other side, Gallery B, is the student work in progress side. So the students take our second side of the gallery, and they're creating work in that space kind of as a lab over the course of a semester. And then by the end of the semester, we turn it into a gallery to showcase their work.
Now, when those galleries are open, is there a cost to come and browse through there?
No, all of our gallery openings are free to the public, as are many of our events, especially our lectures that we're holding in the Rosé Center, the 41 North Film Festival. So we try to make as many of our shows accessible as possible.
For the shows that you do have to pay for, you can choose a plan that works best for you that you know, will allow you to see one or more shows that you want to be able to see. Can you talk about what you have?
So starting on August 1st, which was just a couple days ago, our season tickets went on sale. And this is probably the most affordable way to purchase your tickets, especially if you're planning on coming to more than one event at the Rosé Center. And we have several different packages that folks can choose from. So if you want to come to all of our shows, all 30-plus visual and performing arts and professional shows, our full season subscription is $249, which is a pretty good deal for tickets to all of the shows. You get to pick your seats out so that you know you're sitting in the same spot for every performance. And that's, like I said, that's the whole year. So yeah, you get to go to everything.
Yeah, just break that down a little bit. So you look at that. So $249 for, you know, one season pass. If you went to, say, 10, you just went to a third of what, you know, you said that, you know, is being offered. So that's an average of $25 per ticket. And, you know, a lot of times a ticket's going to cost more than $25 depending on the show. And so for under $250, you've got the whole package.
Yeah, you know, you're saving about 37%, not to get too specific, but about 37% if you were to come to every single show and purchase that ticket by itself.
Okay.
So big savings. And then you also, for every additional ticket that you want to get, you want to go with a friend, you want to bring a family member, it's 10% off that ticket too.
Oh, so it goes down after that.
It does.
Okay.
It does. Then if, you know, thinking the whole season is a little too much of an investment, you know, we all love our free time. And so maybe some of our weekends are going to be spent doing other things. We have our Pick Six package, which is, as you can imagine, six performances. It's $99 for the pick six. You also get to pick your seats out up ahead of time. You're saving, you know, over 20% again here on tickets for the entire season. And you can pick all of our professional shows or do a mix of, you know, you love the KSO, you love the theater shows, but also these professional shows look interesting. So you can kind of mix and match the shows that you think you're most excited about seeing. And then for folks that, you know, again, maybe six is a lot, but there are a couple that you're really interested in seeing over the course of the year, we have a pick three option for $54. Again, it's just about 20% savings on those tickets. And three shows, I think, is normally a good amount for most folks, unless you're an avid theater goer. And so to be able to pick Ailey 2 and a KSO show, and perhaps you want to see Midsummer's Night's Dream that the theater production will be doing in the spring, $54, and those three tickets are yours.
And so those are all on sale now.
Those are all on sale now. They'll be on sale. The full season subscription is available through September 1, but then the pick six and the pick three are available all year.
How do you get those tickets if you want them?
So you can visit the SDC ticket office, the central ticket office right in the SDC, or you can call them at 487-2073 to pick up your subscription tickets.
You just mentioned the Midsummer Night's Dream that the Tech Theater Company is going to be putting on in the spring, and I don't know if I'll be able to be in that. I was in West Side Story, which, from what I heard from the opposite side, from the people that saw it, you know, the whole crew did such a good job, and it was such a good event to go to if you were lucky enough to be able to go and see it, because of the quality of the show that the Tech Theater put on was right up there with anywhere you're going to see that. And these were largely students putting this program on.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I got to also be a part of West Side Story as the choreographer, so I was working with some of our students and our dancers and our students who were also non-dancers, and putting together our production was so much fun. But yeah, continually impressed not only by the caliber and the work ethic that the students were bringing to the performance, but also our community members. And I think that's one of the really amazing things about what the Tech Theater Company does, is blend the students working with our community coming in and being involved very seamlessly. I think it's a great experience not only for our students to get to work with folks outside of the university, but also for community folks to be a part of these amazing large-scale productions that we're doing at the theater.
Yeah, fortunately, you didn't have to work with me on dancing. You may have just resigned. It might have been enough for you at that point.
But I think there were a couple students that felt that way too, but we got them all through.
The Rosé Center, of course, so many people make this possible. It's a not a one woman's job, obviously. So talk about, you know, your crew. Who helps you out?
Yes, it is certainly not a one woman job. I think I'd be, I'd still be at my office working if it was, and I think I might live there. So we have, like I've said, a really phenomenal professional staff that helps make all of these performances possible. George Hamawan is our production manager, and he is kind of leading the charge of all our group of students, as well as our two other professional production staff, Steve Jones and Denny McCaig, who Steve you might know from his work as a musician in the area, and we're so lucky to have him and Denny as well. You know, the three of them working our production crew is just, it makes all the difference in the world to the type of productions we're able to do. George is so much fun to work with because, you know, I've got all these ideas, and he's usually the first person to tell me if they're a little too extreme. But he's also the first person to take one of my crazy ideas and go, yeah, I think we can make that work. And that's just so fun to work in that kind of an environment. You know, Marianne Struthers is our office administrator, and she kind of keeps everybody organized, and she keeps things moving along. Without her, we would be at such a loss in terms of just our ability to keep all of these different moving pieces that make these shows possible, keep them organized and in line. And then Bethany Jones, our marketing manager, just does a phenomenal job about communicating with both our campus community and our larger regional community about the types of shows that we have coming in, making sure that not only do our posters get created, but that people know about the incredible opportunities that we have at the space. So together, you know, we've got a front of house manager, we've got a rentals coordinator, and we've got lots of other folks who are volunteering and helping us out. It really is a collective effort to bring these seasons together.
Oh, we certainly appreciate all of their hard work and yours as well. I'm looking forward to seeing some great shows this year.
Awesome. Yeah, us too, for sure.
Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.